Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, on this October 28th, Saturday morning, I am joined by Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M, answering those smart garden questions, both lawn and garden, this morning. Julie, good morning.
Hey, Denny, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just trying to stay cozy.
Yeah. And,
so far, so good. It was kind of an abrupt change.
Yeah, it was a little bit. 30 degrees in like 24 hours or something.
But you've taken your mic on the road.
I am. I'm coming to you from Zone 3 up in Minnesota, or northern Minnesota.
Zone 3. Now, what can you grow in Zone 3?
Oh, you can grow a lot of things, especially a lot of our native plants. You just have to read the label. We even have an apple that will grow in Zone 3 called Frostbite. So one of my favorites, actually. It's a later season apple, a little bit smaller than some of the more popular ones, I suppose. But it's got a really unique flavor. And I tried the Triumph apple this week. Picked up some at the Apple House at the Arboretum, and they're different. But they're very, very good. I don't know if any of the listeners have tried Triumph. It's one of the newer apples.
No, we were waiting to try, Kudos?
Oh, yep, that's going to be a few years, though.
Yeah.
The plants have been released out to orchards, but they take a few years before they produce.
I don't think I've heard Triumph. What does that taste like?
It's, it's got kind of a cidery taste. I don't know if that makes any sense, but somebody tried it the other day, and they said, this tastes like cider. My friend Izzy did, and I thought, that's a really good description. It's also got a different texture. It's crisp, but it's kind of a harder apple. Like, you got to work a little bit to get a bite out of it, but if you slice it up, it's absolutely delicious.
Well, that's great. I can go for some of that right now.
Say,
if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, I know we're going to begin. In fact, we already are getting tree trimming questions.
Okay.
And I'm sure we're going to be getting questions about dormant seeding. So any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call it in if you like, or you can text it in. 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Julie, can I trim my white oaks now or should I wait until winter?
We are in what's considered the lower risk time period for trimming. So the caller, the texter, is concerned about oak wilt. And after November, we're in the clear. So if they want to just wait a couple more weeks just to be on the safe side, they could go ahead and do some trimming through the winter. And winter is a good time to trim all woody plants because you're not spreading around fungal spores like powdery mildew, but you're also, the plants are dormant and pathogens are dormant. And so it's a safer time to do any kind of pruning.
All right. Let's grab some phone calls this morning, Julie. Marilyn, I believe, is checking in from Little Falls, Minnesota this morning. Marilyn, good morning. What is your question for Julie?
Good morning. My question is, I have an apple crisp tree that has black spot. Now, I don't want my other apple trees to get black spot. Should I cut the Honeycrisp tree down? Or what's the best way to prevent it from spreading to my other apple trees?
So when you say black spot, what did you get a diagnosis from the plant disease clinic on that?
I did from the master gardener on the extension.
Okay. I'm not sure about black spot. There's apple scab. Black spot is something that I personally have only heard about on roses. There's tar spot, but that's on maples. So what I would do actually is I would send a sample to the plant disease clinic and or give them a call. They might ask you to send a photo or they might ask you to send a sample. It does cost, it's about $45, I think, for a sample to be diagnosed. But, you know, saving a tree, that's a kind of a small investment, I think. But send it to them. I have not heard of black spot on apple trees. I would have it diagnosed by the plant disease clinic.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn. Good luck with that. It's kind of nice to know folks are checking in with the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and master gardeners are super helpful. Sometimes it's easier, though, to have a diagnostician look at a sample of your plant.
Yeah, it makes sense. Grab another phone call. Leah calling in from Eden Prairie this morning. Leah, good morning. Thanks for calling. What's your question for Julie?
Good morning, Julie. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a magnolia tree. Beautiful. It's almost two stories tall. And
wow.
I looked at the U of M extension site this week because I had it pruned about 2 years ago. And my gardener cut back pretty severely, but it came back just beautifully. Now I'm thinking I need to have that done again, but the U of M extension site did not recommend pruning at this time of year. But my gardener's saying, yes, we can prune it. What's the real answer?
Well, I think the website is saying not to prune it this time of year because you'll prune off flower buds for next year. So it's like pruning any spring blooming plant now. You're going to be pruning off flower buds for next year's flowering, but if it's the health of the tree, if that's what you're pruning for and for form and shape, then you may sacrifice some of the flowers. It might not be so floriferous. So that's the reason that on the website it says that.
All right, very good. Looking at a text, Julie, it says, "Thank you for the gardening show."
On the website it says that.
All right, very good. Looking at a text, Julie, it says, "Thank you for the gardening show. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. As this is time of the year to plant garlic, what type of garlic cloves would you recommend planting? Would healthy-looking garlic heads from the grocery store, if planted, grow in our climate?"
So we do not really recommend growing the grocery store varieties because those are from California most of the time. They're a different kind of garlic than we grow here successfully. If you want to grow garlic in Minnesota, the best thing to do is actually purchase the cloves or purchase the bulbs from a garlic grower in Minnesota. And we have a great webpage on garlic that explains about, you know, different kinds of garlic and how to plant it, how to care for it, how to prepare the soil. And so you can take a look at that. It's under our vegetables webpage on Yard and Garden. So it's at extension.umn.edu. Go to vegetables and then visit the garlic page under vegetables A to Z.
I got to check that out. I've never grown garlic. This is the time of year you do that?
Yep. You plant it now. You plant it after a frost. So this is a good time to do that. You break the cloves off of a bulb and you drop them in. It's just like when you're planting tulip bulbs or crocus bulbs. You plant them in the fall. And then they will start to die back. About half the plant dies back in the late summer. And then you harvest your garlic bulbs at that point.
All right.
It's a great thing to grow because it doesn't take up a lot of room. And it looks neat. You get the scapes, the flower buds in the spring. So you get a little bit of, you know, two crops, really. You get the scapes and the bulbs. You do want to plant it in different places, though, throughout your site. Like any crop, you want to rotate. You don't want to keep planting garlic in the same place, because if there's any kind of a pathogen, then you may be just propagating that.
Tell you what, before we take a quick break, let's grab another phone call this morning.
Sounds
Paul
great.
Is calling in from Ogilvie, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Paul. What is your question?
Good morning. I've got a nice little asparagus patch. It's only a little 4x6, but it looks straggly as all get out. What do I do with it for the winter, and how do I fertilize it?
Okay. So asparagus, yeah, a great perennial crop in our gardens. And certainly we like those early spring spears that come up. You can snap them off and throw them in your saute pan. Right now, what you want to do is you want to go ahead and mulch that asparagus bed. You can use some straw. You can buy a straw bale and use that. And then in the spring, those little spears will start coming off. You can prune off any of the fronds that are dry brown right now. They will turn brown in the winter. Just prune them off and then fertilize them in the spring when the plants start to grow. So you can use, I think, just a general vegetable fertilizer, something that's going to produce good roots. So maybe a little bit less of the nitrogen and a little bit more of the maybe the phosphorus or potassium too. Again, same thing as the garlic question. We have a good webpage on asparagus that will help you with some of the timing of some of these things. And you can find that on our Extension Yard and Garden page at extension.umn.edu.
We will remind our listeners of that very website. Hang on, Julie. We'll take this a quick break. And don't forget, in a few minutes, we'll have a look at that complete forecast here in the Twin Cities. For right now, 29 degrees. We're on our way to near 35. Small chance of some snow later on this afternoon. Again, here in the Twin Cities, 29 degrees. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. Julie's answering those questions today as usual. I'm looking at a variety of texts this morning, Julie. And by the way, if you want to call in, you don't have to text. We'd love to hear your wonderful voice if you want to call in and talk to Julie yourself. 651-461-9226. Buckthorn question.
Ooh,
that is growing in my bridal veil hedge, texter says. I will have it removed next spring. Can the hedge survive this and regrow, do you think?
I think so. It depends how it's removed. But just getting in there, they may use a tool. That's a buckthorn puller, so to speak. Those are very effective. You may lose some of the hedge, just depending on the size of the buckthorn that's in it. Because, you know, you're just pulling up a big root area. So that might be a little bit of a loss. But I think that, yeah, I think your hedge will be fine. Kind of depends on how bad it is.
Okay. Wait and see now.
I guess wait and see. Yep.
Good morning. Texter says, in late fall, we planted some creeping rose plants, wondering if we should cover them with leaves for the winter.
It depends on what kind of rose it is. So we have hardy shrub roses in Minnesota, which are on their own root and can easily survive the winter. If you're concerned at all, you can cover those the creeping roses with some leaf mulch. That's great. If they are in a certain area, just to protect them a little bit more, you can put a little bit of a fencing around them and then pile the leaves inside that fencing.
Okay. This listener, Julie, wants to know, how can I get rid of slugs on hostas? Love the show. Thank you.
So slugs are indicative of extra wet conditions. So conditions that are constantly wet. So if you have irrigation, back off in your irrigation. You can trim up your hostas so that the leaves allow for more light to reach the soil, removing those leaves. You can use baits and traps for slugs. You can find some of those on your garden center. Some people will recommend putting in a shallow tin of beer set at the surface of your soil, and then the beer just a little bit below that edge so that the slugs will be attracted to the beer. They'll kind of squiggle up to it, and then they'll fall into the beer trap and drown. So that's another way of controlling them too. Some people will also put recommend putting boards out and then flip those boards over, and the slugs are attracted to that wood, and you can scrape them off and get rid of them that way too. But I think it's better to change the culture of your garden and make sure you're not overwatering, and then also maybe do some trimming of those hostas to allow for more light and air to reach that soil.
Okay, very good. This listener, Julie, said, I've heard the best time to spray for Creeping Charlie is after the first frost. Do you think today is a good time or wait until a little warmer?
It would depend on what you're spraying and if there's any temperature restrictions on spraying it. So if you're using triclopyr, which is often what John recommends, our turf educator, for Creeping Charlie, and just read the bottle and see if it has any, like, don't spray it if it's colder than 40, something to that effect. So then just wait till it warms up. It sounds like we're going to have a little bit warmer temperatures coming up in the next week.
Yeah, it looks like Thursday, Friday, probably low to mid-40s. So
so I was laughing when I heard you do that, the temperature, Denny, and I was like, well, that sounds kind of warm. Kind of balmy.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I was looking at more text, but we just got another phone call. This one from Rick calling from Wilmer this morning. Thank you, Rick. What is your question for Julie?
Yeah, Julie, thanks for taking my question. It is, how do you store beets for winter? They seem to get soft on us all the time.
Huh. Well, boy, that is an interesting question, and I think consult our webpage on beets. I don't know. I usually don't store them that long. I store them just in a plastic bag in my vegetable bin, but I don't have that many beets. If you have like a real bumper crop of beets, most people I know will pickle them quickly or eat them steamed or steam them and freeze them, cube them. But I'm not sure how you would store them for, I guess thinking about the quantity, I know that people store carrots in sand in a cool location, like a root cellar type, you know, 50 degrees or something. And I imagine you could do that with beets, too. But maybe take a look at our vegetables page on beets and see if it advises anything. I know it has information on harvesting and possibly storage then, too.
That's a good idea. But I have a feeling, as you know, Julie, we have the smartest listeners.
Yeah,
somebody will come up with what they found to be a successful method. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah, see if anybody comes forward.
Another lawn question. In fact, I have the same question, and I don't think it's going to happen this fall. Is it too late to aerate the lawn?
Yeah, probably. Though the soil is still soft, and we're not ready to dormant seed at this point. We're getting there. Pretty close. Usually it's around mid-November or so. I think you could still aerate it.
This listener has said, added to it, that they have clay soil and fine fescue grass.
Okay. Boy, I wish John was on. He would advise. I think you could still aerate it. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, then especially when we just mentioned those temperatures this week. So it's
right.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And if you know somebody who can do that, call me.
That might be the challenge, Denny, is finding somebody to do it.
Isn't that true? Yeah. And I've rented them in the past, but it was like running away with me. another buckthorn question. And then I know we're going to break for weather. If I cut them down now, is there a chemical treatment I can use effectively on the stumps?
Yeah, and you actually should. You don't want to just cut buckthorn down and leave it. Once you make that clean cut, you can use a brush killer. That's oftentimes what they're called. And they're a combination of usually two or three different chemicals. And you just want to dab it on the stump. You can just put it around the edge of that stump. and that will then move into the root area of the plant and kill the root. You might have to do it a couple times, but it's that you definitely want to treat it after you cut it.
All right. Yeah, nasty buckthorn. I'll tell you what, let's do this, Julie. Let's take a break.
It,
we'll have a look at the weather. We'll find out where the abiders are playing next, if and when.
we'll do
that after the break. It's the Smart Garden Show here on CISO. 29 degrees. We'll get you the weather details coming up next here on 830 W. To the break, it's the Smart Garden Show here on CISO. 29 degrees. We'll get you the weather details coming up next here on 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. This happens to be the 28th of October, and Julie Wisenhorn is with us from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. We had some texts early this morning,
right,
Julie, and I mentioned it. Some folks were thinking that we change clocks this weekend. It's next weekend.
Next weekend.
It's a week from tomorrow,
right,
we fall back to standard time. A lot of folks don't like that. That's for,
well, it's kind
that's,
of a,
that's,
I don't
that's
know. I don't even know why we keep doing it.
Yeah. Boy, we've got a ton of text messages. You know what? We've got a phone call, too. Let's take the caller first, and then we'll pick up on the text messages. Bruce calling in from Lake Crystal this morning. Bruce, what is your question?
Good morning. I don't have a question. I got a tip on the beets.
Oh, what?
I pull them every year. I cut the tops off, but I leave about an inch of the top on the top of the beet. And then I do not wash the beets. I leave a little bit of dirt on them, just rub off the majority part of the dirt. Don't wash them. I put them in a plastic bag after that, put them in the refrigerator, and we'll have beets in April and May yet.
Yeah,
I was... They're good.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. We don't have a beets page actually on our extension site. So I was looking at the rutabagas and turnips page, and they were saying when the caller talked about them getting soft, they are actually drying out. And so I was thinking about that too. I thought, well, should we wash them? And I agree, I wouldn't wash them, but yeah, cut off the tops, leave a little bit of that, and then put them in plastic in the fridge. Yeah, I agree.
As I said, we have such smart listeners.
I know. Thanks for calling with
thank
that
you, Bruce.
Tip.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Listener, Julie wants to have you talk a little bit about how to prepare the hibiscus bush for winter.
Oh, so the perennial is just, I wonder if they're talking about, if it's a perennial hibiscus, you can just cut it down. And then I would protect it. I would put a fence around it or some fencing and then fill it with leaves or straw, just to protect it through the winter and to keep animals from browsing on those stems that are still above the ground. If it's a tropical hibiscus, you like any houseplant, you want to check it over really well before you bring it. Hopefully you've brought it in by now, because if you haven't, it's probably pretty cold for it. But clean it up. The leaves are going to drop off when you bring it in, a lot of them, so don't be alarmed by that. They'll re-sprout. It may be full of buds, flower buds. They tend to bloom this time of year. Just clean them up, clean up the pot. Make sure that you're not bringing in any pests with it. And if you do find any on the plant, either remove that part of the plant or you can go ahead and treat the plant as well. You can cut it back as well, too. So that would be the tropical hibiscus. The other one, I think, just fence it and fill it with leaves just to protect it through the winter.
We're getting some questions, as I figured we would, about dormant seeding. This one in particular said they've been spraying for Creeping Charlie, and their question is, can I still do dormant seeding after spraying the past few weeks for Creeping Charlie?
Yeah, you sure can. And that dormant seeding, that seed is just going to remain dormant. It's not going to sprout, and it's not going to be harmed by the spray.
Again, dormant seeding. Can I overseed now, or do I need to wait until lawn freezes? What is the best way to dormant seed, and what is it?
Well, dormant seeding is putting down grass seed that's appropriate for your site. So sun, part shade, full shade, whatever it is, and putting it down at a time when the soil temperatures are too cold for that seed to germinate. And that seed lies under the snow. If you can do it right before a snowstorm, that's actually a good time. and it lies under the snow dormant. And then in the spring, the changes in the warming up and the moisture that we have in the soil, they work together to help that seed to germinate in the spring. And you could wait. I would still wait a little bit longer, just because the advice that I understand has always been November to mid-November, mm-hmm. Early to mid-November. And if we don't have any snow, you could still put it down after that, too.
All right. Very good. This listener wants to know, can we split and transplant lilacs now?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be doing any splitting and transplanting now. It's a little bit late in the season. The plant won't have any time for the roots to really get reestablished. Wait until spring, or wait until after they bloom in the spring. I don't know about splitting lilacs. They don't really split very well. They're not like a daylily that you can divide and replant. I would actually opt for putting in new plants from a nursery, from a local nursery. And first of all, you get some new varieties. And second of all, you'll get some fresh growth. Lilacs are old plants, and they live a long time. So I don't think there's no splitting involved with lilacs.
And I'm looking at the overnight lows. They're in the 20s.
Yeah, it's too cold to do that now.
Yeah.
Anyway, even if you could.
Good advice. This listener planted 30 hazelnut plants last summer.
Ooh,
26
nice.
Survived.
How many?
Shall we protect them in some way during the winter is the question. We have chicken wire cages around each one.
So how many plants survived? 26?
26, yeah.
Wow, way to go. That's awesome. So the most important thing with those hazelnuts is protecting them from animal browsing. So you want to cage those plants, and I don't think chicken wire is the way to go. I think you want to use something stronger than that, because if you have any deer browsing, they can knock down a chicken wire fence in no time. So you want to use either a tall hardware cloth, or you can use a stronger tree fencing, something like a livestock fencing, and make it really strong, really sturdy. If you have them grouped together, you could do some small groups of the 26. They might be close enough together, just to make it a little bit more efficient. But don't group the whole bunch of 26, because a deer can go over that fencing. So just put them in small groups. We have a webpage on deer protection, or protecting plants from deer, and it talks about micro enclosures, which are 16 by 16 areas made of livestock fencing that have proven to be good ways to protect plants, larger plants like hazelnuts and apples, from deer. So take a look at that on our extension site under our trees and shrubs section.
I'm going to do that very thing, because the deer just thrive on our landscape here.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They'll eat anything once.
That's true. By the way, here's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Julie, I have Weigela bushes, in a willow bush. They are extremely woody inside and very large. I would like to trim them down by at least half. My wood bushes, this is kind of a typo here.
Deciphering.
If not now, when? I don't want to lose the beautiful pink flowers I get on them in the spring.
So Weigela are more summer blooming plants, so you can take them down to the ground in the winter, and it's called coppicing, and then they will resprout and grow, and you may have a little bit less bloom next year, but the plants will have much better form. You'll get rid of those big woody stems. So that's one option. Same with the willow shrub. I take it that's like a Arctic willow or something. You can do that as well. The other thing you could do with particularly the Weigela is that you could trim out about a third of the plant, the biggest stems of that plant. So you could do that as well. Again, you'd want to wait and do that in the winter, and then new growth will sprout in those areas, and that new growth will be a lot less woody, and then it'll also bloom too. So you can do it either way. Depends on what your objective is.
All right. Very good. Let's grab another phone call, Julie. Sharon is calling in from Spicer this morning. Hi, Sharon. What's your question for Julie?
I'm looking to choose some kind of a shrub
to go in front of my porch, which faces east, and I don't want it to get too tall, just something I can look over on the porch. And I'm wondering about fruited cranberry, what you think of that. Or also, I've had a Carol Mackey Daphne in the past, which I loved, but I think it's more delicate.
Okay, so this is a plant selection question, and we happen to have an excellent plant database that you could access. It's on our extension site under our landscaping section. It's called Plant Elements of Design. There's roughly 2,500 plants on that list, including a lot of good, interesting blooming shrubs that you might be interested in. I would also, what you want to do is you've already identified the direction and the light that you have. You want to also determine how much space you have for these shrubs. And in this database, you can enter in those kinds of that kind of information about your site and the growing conditions, and then click the search button, and then it will come up with any and all plants in the database that match those requirements. I would start with the most basic things, the light, the type of soil you have, and the size of the space, and the kind of shrub you want. And in this case, it sounds like you want a deciduous shrub that blooms. So look for those things and put those in. If you have any issues, you can contact. There's a help email. Actually comes to me, and I can help you with it. But that's a good source. It's a great place to start, and it helps you learn to choose plants. It helps direct kind of our thought process for choosing plants with growing requirements that match our site conditions so that they really thrive and they don't just survive.
Good point. Julie, I know we have to break here in a moment.
Conditions so that they really thrive and they don't just survive.
Good point. Julie, I know we have to break here in a moment, but I wanted to ask you, for those that don't know, Julie plays in a group called the Abiders.
Yeah.
Now, when's your next gig?
Hey, we have got one of our biggest gigs of the year coming up. It's the Tonka Brew Fest, number 10. We have played for all 10 of the Tonka Brew Fest events. This is out at Gale Woods Farm in Minnetrista, Minnesota. And tickets are online at TonkaBrewFest.com. This is a benefit, a fundraiser for our local Rotary, which does a ton of awesome work all over the West Metro area and beyond. They also collaborate with other Rotaries. And it's a big event. 18 microbreweries are there. You get to taste a lot of great beer, meet some nice people, and hear the Abiders play. It is next Saturday, November 4th, from 3 to 6. You have to be 21 Saturday. To come.
Well, let's remind folks before you take your leave today about that very thing. So
we'll mention that again.
So hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with more Smart Garden. 651-461-9226. Temperature reading in the Twin Cities, still 29 degrees. Stay with us. Back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, any kind of a home improvement question you may have for Andy Lindis, we'll be fielding those on our home improvement show next hour. Julie Weisenhorn is with us from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. Here's another one, Julie, about houseplant question. What if the leaves on my houseplant are sticky? Is it good to spray with 8 insect control?
Okay, so the houseplant, we don't know what the houseplant is, but the sticky leaves are usually indicative of honeydew, caused by honeydew. This is an excrement from sucking insects like aphids, for example. And if that's the case, there are other reasons, I suppose, it could be sticky, but that's, if we're thinking about pests, that would be the purpose of that. 8 is a product that is used for sucking insects. The important thing about any product is, first of all, identifying the insect. So you got to find it. Could be aphids, could be scale, could be mealybugs, and you want to identify it first. We have some good tools on our extension site for identifying houseplants. In fact, there's a web page that I wrote with our great entomologist, Jeff Hahn, who has since retired from Extension, but it's on managing insects on indoor plants. I would take a look at that, try to find the insect first, then determine how to take care of it. And we have some recommendations on that page. 8 is just one product. There are also less impactful products and safer products to use, like insecticidal soap, neem oil, horticultural oil. You can also wash the plant to get rid of insects, too. That's sometimes a great way to start. And then move that plant out of the way or away from other houseplants so that you're not contaminating other houseplants with those pests. So take a look at that web page, Managing Insects on Indoor Plants, and it's on our extension site at extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden, go to Houseplants.
Very good. You mentioned entomologist Jeff Hahn. He's helped us out for years here on CC.
Yeah, I miss Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, congrats on the retirement. A little bit late. Should I cut down, Texter says, my asparagus ferns now?
I wonder if they're talking about their asparagus that's in the garden. So I'm going to go with that. Okay. You can leave them up through the winter. They don't hurt anything. You can cut them down in the spring. They actually give you a little bit of interest in an otherwise barren landscape of snow and grayness. So a lot of people will leave them up. They turn kind of a golden color through the winter, and then you just trim them back in the spring. Your choice.
Okay. Listener says, I bought a potted hydrangea tree this summer. It flowered beautifully, and I'm wondering if I plant it in the ground, if it will survive our winter. If I bring it indoors, would it survive this winter?
Yeah, that's kind of a prediction I'm not sure I can make.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of hydrangea it is. If it's a hardy hydrangea from Minnesota, yes, you can plant it outside. It's a little bit late to do that now, but you can try. If you bring it indoors, you could maybe get it to live through the winter indoors and put it back outside. It's going to just depend on how much light you have and how much care you're willing to give it.
Okay. Another question from a listener, text-wise, it says, can a large-size sumac be bought and planted with success?
Well, there are different cultivars of sumac. There's tiger eye, there's cut-leaf sumac, too. I don't know. I've never seen a large sumac for sale. Like, what's large? You know, full-grown, over my head, or if it's a type of sumac from a greenhouse, yes, you can transplant those if you buy it from a greenhouse or a nursery. There are these varieties that are available. If you're going to transplant it from some place where you've dug it up, it might be more challenging because they tend to have pretty complex root systems that spread, and that's why they make such nice massing plants for hillsides. So this would definitely be something I would ask for more information on. But, yeah, you can transplant them from a nursery, but I don't think you could dig one up and transplant it that easily. I'd go with smaller ones, to be honest.
Okay. Listener, heard you talking about that apple earlier in the show. What apple was Julie talking about?
The Triumph apple. And Frostbite. That's the other one that I like, too.
And you found that at the Apple House, right?
I did, at the Arboretum, yeah, which is open through December 20th. And it's fabulous. I don't know if we'll have apples that long. They're still bringing them in, though, and there's a lot of great gourds and pumpkins out there. So really a really cool place to go.
And it's and over the year, they've expanded, too.
Yeah, they put a big addition onto that building. Lots more room, lots more products. Really, they've got a freezer full of strudel and pies. Jenny and John Thule have grown over 300 varieties of squash and pumpkins and gourds. The North Star Cider Donuts and Apple Cider are there, the food truck. I stop there, I bet, weekly to get apples and just see what's going on. It's a pretty cool place to go. So it's out on Highway 5 and Rolling Acres Road, just across the highway from the Arboretum. So you can go to the Apple House and, of course, visit the Arboretum. The fall colors, they've blown off a little bit now, but they're still really, really amazing.
Well, we talked we talk about the Arboretum a lot for good reason, but let's remind listeners, Julie, how do we get there? We have to reserve online, right?
Yep. Go online at arb.umn.edu and go ahead and make a reservation. If you're a member, you're already, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. If you're not a member, you maybe want to become a member, and but you can still get a ticket, and that will get you in at a certain time, and you can spend the whole day there. So there's no limit to when you have to leave or anything. It just helps with parking and getting people through the gate in a timely fashion. But we've got our scarecrow displays. We have a huge pumpkin and squash tree that's out there. It's outside of the Oswald Visitor Center. And also, when you visit the website, take a look at the tickets for the Northern Lights. Those are already on sale. So this is our big light show that happens starting November 16th. So get your tickets. They fill up fast. So go ahead and do that. And I always go to that several times every year, so it's really fun to do. But right now, it's beautiful fall.
We have, Julie, less than 2 minutes to go on the show, and the listener wants your thoughts on this question. Have our recent rains been enough to replenish the water our large mature trees need?
Well, that's a great question. I have been listening a lot to our meteorologists and our water experts, and we are still in moderate drought in a number of areas. So it's not enough to replenish it completely. We still want to be watering our woody plants, especially as long as we can until the ground freezes, if possible. So, and we should be watering them consistently throughout the entire season, the growing season. So don't just like dump a bunch of water on them, you know, late in the season, but next year plan to do a, you know, an even watering, consistent watering for those important plants in our landscape. But if you can keep watering, great. If you haven't turned your water off, we happen to have turned ours off at home. So we're just crossing our fingers for more moisture at this point.
Yeah, I did the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Julie, we have to run. In 20 seconds or less, tell us where the Abiders and when are playing.
We are playing next Saturday, November 4th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Tonka Brewfest. Tickets are available at tonkabrewfest.com.
1 week from today.
Yeah, benefit for our Western Communities Rotary.
Good cause. Thank you so much, Julie. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your stay where you are now, and we will talk real soon.
Sounds good, Denny. Have a good weekend.
You too. Julie Weisenhorn, Extension Educator from the University of Minnesota. Get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis will be stepping into our CCO airwaves, as we used to say, next hour. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's overcast. 29 is the current temp, been that way all morning. Heading for a high near 35. Stay with us here on CCO.
Well, the holidays have come and gone once again, but if you've forgotten to get that special someone in your life a gift, well, Mint Mobile is extending their holiday offer of half off unlimited wireless. So here's the idea. You get it now. You call it an early present for next year. What do you have to lose?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Limited time 50% off regular price for new customers. Upfront payment required. $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds may slow after 50 gigabytes per month when network is busy. See terms.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You walk in tired and hungry. One bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Yes, on this October 28th, Saturday morning, I am joined by Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M, answering those smart garden questions, both lawn and garden, this morning. Julie, good morning.
Hey, Denny, how you doing?
I'm doing well, just trying to stay cozy.
Yeah. And,
so far, so good. It was kind of an abrupt change.
Yeah, it was a little bit. 30 degrees in like 24 hours or something.
But you've taken your mic on the road.
I am. I'm coming to you from Zone 3 up in Minnesota, or northern Minnesota.
Zone 3. Now, what can you grow in Zone 3?
Oh, you can grow a lot of things, especially a lot of our native plants. You just have to read the label. We even have an apple that will grow in Zone 3 called Frostbite. So one of my favorites, actually. It's a later season apple, a little bit smaller than some of the more popular ones, I suppose. But it's got a really unique flavor. And I tried the Triumph apple this week. Picked up some at the Apple House at the Arboretum, and they're different, but they're very, very good. I don't know if any of the listeners have tried Triumph. It's one of the newer apples.
No, we were waiting to try. What's the Kudos?
Oh, yep, that's going to be a few years though.
Yeah,
Triumph. It's been released. The plants have been released out to orchards, but they take a few years before they produce.
I don't think I've heard Triumph. What does that taste like?
It's, it's got kind of a cidery taste. I don't know if that makes any sense, but somebody tried it the other day and they said, this tastes like cider. My friend Izzy did. And I thought that's a really good description. It's also got a different texture. It's crisp, but it's kind of a harder apple. Like you gotta work a little bit to get a bite out of it. But if you slice it up, it's absolutely delicious.
Well, that's great. I can go for some of that right now.
Say, I know.
If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, I know we're going to be getting. In fact, we already are getting tree trimming questions,
okay.
And I'm sure we're going to be getting questions about dormant seeding. So any kind of a lawn or garden question, by all means, you can call it in if you like, or you can text it in 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Julie, can I trim my white oaks now or should I wait until winter?
We are in what's considered the lower risk time period for trimming. So the caller, the texter, is concerned about oak wilt. And after November, we're in the clear. So if they want to just wait a couple more weeks just to be on the safe side, they could go ahead and do some trimming through the winter. And winter is a good time to trim all woody plants because you're not spreading around fungal spores like powdery mildew, but you're also, the plants are dormant and pathogens are dormant. And so it's a safer time to do any kind of pruning.
All right. Let's grab some phone calls this morning, Julie. Marilyn, I believe, is checking in from Little Falls, Minnesota this morning. Marilyn, good morning. What is your question for Julie?
Good morning. My question is, I have an apple crisp tree that has black spot. Now, I don't want my other apple trees to get black spot. Should I cut the Honeycrisp tree down? Or what's the best way to prevent it from spreading to my other apple trees?
So when you say black spot, what did you get a diagnosis from the plant disease clinic on that?
I did from the master gardener on the extension.
Okay. I'm not sure about black spot. There's apple scab. Black spot is something that I personally have only heard about on roses. Tar spot, but that's on maples. So it would have to, what I would do actually is I would send a sample to the plant disease clinic and or give them a call. They might ask you to send a photo or they might ask you to send a sample. It does cost, it's about $45, I think, for a sample to be diagnosed. But, you know, saving a tree, that's a kind of a small investment, I think. But send it to them. I have not heard of black spot on apple trees. Yeah, I would have it diagnosed by the plant disease clinic.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn. Good luck with that. It's kind of nice to know folks are checking in with the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and master gardeners are super helpful. Sometimes it's easier, though, to have a diagnostician look at a sample of your plant.
Yeah, makes sense. Grab another phone call. Leah calling in from Eden Prairie this morning. Leah, good morning. Thanks for calling. What's your question for Julie?
Good morning, Julie. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a magnolia tree. Beautiful. It's almost two stories tall. And
wow.
I looked at the U of M extension site this week because I had it pruned about 2 years ago. And my gardener cut back pretty severely, but it came back just beautifully. Now I'm thinking I need to have that done again. But the U of M extension site did not recommend pruning at this time of year. Can I? But my gardener's saying, yes, we can prune it. What's the real answer?
Well, I think the website is saying not to prune it this time of year because you'll prune off flower buds for next year. So it's like pruning any spring blooming plant now. You're going to be pruning off flower buds for next year's flowering. But if it's the health of the tree, if that's what you're pruning for and for form and shape, then you may sacrifice some of the flowers. It might not be so floriferous. So that's the reason that on the website it says that.
All right, very good. Looking at a text, Julie, it says, thank you for the gardening show.
On the website it says that.
All right, very good. Looking at a text, Julie, it says, thank you for the gardening show. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. As this is time of the year to plant garlic, what type of garlic cloves would you recommend planting? Would healthy-looking garlic heads from the grocery store, if planted, grow in our climate?
So we do not really recommend growing the grocery store varieties because those are from California most of the time. They're a different kind of garlic than we grow here successfully. If you want to grow garlic in Minnesota, the best thing to do is actually purchase the cloves or purchase the bulbs from a garlic grower in Minnesota. And we have a great webpage on garlic that explains about, you know, different kinds of garlic and how to plant it, how to care for it, how to prepare the soil. And so you can take a look at that. It's under our vegetables webpage on Yard and Garden. So it's at extension.umn.edu. Go to vegetables and then visit the garlic page under vegetables A to Z.
I got to check that out. I've never grown garlic. Is this the time of year you do that?
Yep, you plant it now. You plant it after a frost, so this is a good time to do that. You break the cloves off of a bulb and you drop them in. It's just like when you're planting tulip bulbs or crocus bulbs. You plant them in the fall. And then they will start to die back. About half the plant dies back in the late summer. And then you harvest your garlic bulbs at that point.
All right.
It's a great thing to grow because it doesn't take up a lot of room. And it looks neat. You get the scapes, the flower buds in the spring. So you get a little bit of, you know, two crops, really. You get the scapes and the bulbs. You do want to plant it in different places, though, throughout your site. Like any crop, you want to rotate. You don't want to keep planting garlic in the same place because any kind of a pathogen, then you may be just propagating that.
Tell you what, before we take a quick break, let's grab another phone call this morning.
Sounds
Paul
great.
Is calling in from Ogilvie, Minnesota this morning. Thank you, Paul. What is your question?
Good morning. I've got a nice little asparagus patch. It's only a little 4x6, but it looks straggly as all get out. What do I do with it for the winter, and how do I fertilize it?
Okay. So asparagus, a great perennial crop in our gardens. And certainly we like those early spring spears that come up. You can snap them off and throw them in your saute pan. Right now what you want to do is you want to go ahead and mulch that asparagus bed. You can use some straw. You can buy a straw bale and use that. And then in the spring, those little spears will start coming off. You can prune off any of the fronds that are dry brown right now. They will turn brown in the winter. Just prune them off and then fertilize them in the spring when the plants start to grow. So you can use, I think, just a general vegetable fertilizer, something that's going to produce good roots, so maybe a little bit less of the nitrogen and a little bit more of the maybe the phosphorus or potassium too. Again, same thing as the garlic question. We have a good webpage on asparagus that will help you with some of the timing of some of these things. And you can find that on our Extension Yard and Garden page at extension.umn.edu.
We will remind our listeners of that very website. Hang on, Julie. We'll take this quick break. And don't forget, in a few minutes, we'll have a look at that complete forecast here in the Twin Cities. For right now, 29 degrees. We're on our way to near 35. Small chance of some snow later on this afternoon. Again, here in the Twin Cities, 29 degrees. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions. This morning for Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M, Julie's answering those questions today as usual. I'm looking at a variety of texts this morning, Julie. And by the way, if you want to call in, you don't have to text. We'd love to hear your wonderful voice if you want to call in and talk to Julie yourself. 651-461-9226. Buckthorn question.
Ooh, yeah.
That is growing in my bridal veil hedge, texter says. I will have it removed next spring. Can the hedge survive this and regrow, do you think?
I think so. It depends how it's removed. But just getting in there, they may use a tool. That's a buckthorn puller, so to speak. Those are very effective. You may lose some of the hedge, just depending on the size of the buckthorn that's in it. Because, you know, you're just pulling up a big root area. So that might be a little bit of a loss. But I think that, yeah, I think your hedge will be fine. Kind of depends on how bad it is.
Okay. Wait and see now.
I guess wait and see. Yep.
Good morning. Texter says, in late fall, we planted some creeping rose plants, wondering if we should cover them with leaves for the winter.
It depends on what kind of rose it is. So we have hardy shrub roses in Minnesota, which are on their own root and can easily survive the winter. If you're concerned at all, you can cover those the creeping roses with some leaf mulch. That's great. If they are in a certain area, just to protect them a little bit more, you can put a little bit of a fencing around them and then pile the leaves inside that fencing.
Okay. This listener, Julie, wants to know, how can I get rid of slugs on hostas? Love the show. Thank you.
So slugs are indicative of extra wet conditions. So conditions that are constantly wet. So if you have irrigation, back off in your irrigation. You can trim up your hostas so that the leaves allow for more light to reach the soil, removing those leaves. You can use baits and traps for slugs. You can find some of those on your garden center. Some people will recommend putting in a shallow tin of beer set at the surface of your soil, and then the beer just a little bit below that edge so that the slugs will be attracted to the beer. They'll kind of squiggle up to it, and then they'll fall into the beer trap and drown. So that's another way of controlling them too. Some people will also recommend putting boards out and then flip those boards over, and the slugs are attracted to that wood, and you can scrape them off and get rid of them that way too. But I think it's better to change the culture of your garden and make sure you're not overwatering, and then also maybe do some trimming of those hostas to allow for more light and air to reach that soil.
Okay, very good. This listener, Julie, said, I've heard the best time to spray for Creeping Charlie is after the first frost. Do you think today is a good time or wait until a little warmer?
It would depend on what you're spraying and if there's any temperature restrictions on spraying it. So if you're using triclopyr, which is often what John recommends, our turf educator, for Creeping Charlie, and just read the bottle and see if it has any, like, don't spray it if it's colder than 40. something to that effect. So then just wait till it warms up. It sounds like we're going to have a little bit warmer temperatures coming up in the next week.
Yeah, it looks like Thursday, Friday, probably low to mid-40s. So
so I was laughing when I heard you do that, the temperature, Denny, and I was like, well, that sounds kind of warm. Kind of balmy.
It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I was looking at more text, but we just got another phone call, this one from Rick calling from Wilmer this morning. Thank you, Rick. What is your question for Julie?
Yeah, Julie, thanks for taking my question. It is, how do you store beets for winter? They seem to get soft on us all the time.
Huh. Well, boy, that is an interesting question, and I think consult our webpage on beets. I don't know. I usually don't store them that long. I store them just in a plastic bag in my vegetable bin, but I don't have that many beets. If you have like a real bumper crop of beets, most people I know will pickle them quickly or eat them steamed or steam them and freeze them, cube them. But I'm not sure how you would store them for, I guess thinking about the quantity, I know that people store carrots in sand in a cool location like a root cellar type, you know, 50 degrees or something. But, and I imagine you could do that with beets, too. But maybe take a look at our vegetables page on beets and see if it advises anything. I know it has information on harvesting and possibly storage then, too.
That's a good idea. But I have a feeling, as you know, Julie, we have the smartest listeners.
Yeah.
Somebody will come up with what they found to be a successful method. So we'll wait and see.
Yeah. See if anybody comes forward.
Another lawn question. In fact, I have the same question, and I don't think it's going to happen this fall. Is it too late to aerate the lawn?
Yeah, probably. Though the soil is still soft, and we're not ready to dormant seed at this point. We're getting there, pretty close. Usually it's around mid-November or so. I think you could still aerate it.
This listener has said, added to it that they have clay soil and fine fescue grass.
Okay. Boy, I wish John was on. He would advise. I think you could still aerate it. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Then especially when we just mentioned those temperatures this week. So it's.
Right.
All right. Well. Good luck with that, and if you know somebody who can do that, call me.
That might be the challenge, Denny, is finding somebody to do it.
Isn't that true? Yeah. And I've rented them in the past, but it was like running away with me. another buckthorn question, and then I know we're going to break for weather. If I cut them down now, is there a chemical treatment I can use effectively on the stumps?
Yeah, and you actually should. That you don't want to just cut buckthorn down and leave it. Once you make that clean cut, you can use a brush killer. That's oftentimes what they're called. And they're a combination of usually two or three different chemicals. And you just want to dab it on the stump. You can just put it around the edge of that stump. And that will then move into the root area of the plant and kill the root. You might have to do it a couple times. But it's that you definitely want to treat it after you cut it.
All right. Yeah, nasty buckthorn. I'll tell you what, let's do this, Julie. Let's
take
a break. We'll have a look at the weather. We'll find out where the abiders are playing next, if and when.
Sounds good.
Do that after the break. It's the Smart Garden Show here on CCO. 29 degrees. We'll get you the weather details coming up next here on 830 W. To the break, it's the Smart Garden Show here on CCO. 29 degrees. We'll get you the weather details coming up next here on 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. This happens to be the 28th of October, and Julie Weisenhorn is with us from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. We had some texts early this morning,
right,
Julie, and I mentioned it. Some folks were thinking that we change clocks this weekend. It's next weekend.
Next weekend.
It's a week from tomorrow,
Right.
We fall back to standard time. A lot of folks don't like that, but that's for,
well, it's kind
that's,
of a,
that's,
I don't know.
That's
I don't even know why show, we keep doing it.
Yeah. Boy, we've got a ton of text messages. You know what? We've got a phone call, too. Let's take the caller first, and then we'll pick up on the text messages. Bruce calling in from Lake Crystal this morning. Bruce, what is your question?
Good morning. I don't have a question. I got a tip on the beets.
Oh, what?
I pull them every year. I cut the tops off, but I leave about an inch of the top on the top of the beet. And then I do not wash the beets. I leave a little bit of dirt on them, just rub off the majority part of the dirt. Don't wash them. I put them in a plastic bag after that, put them in the refrigerator, and we'll have beets in April and May yet.
Yeah,
and still
I was.
Beet seed. They're good.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. We don't have a beets page actually on our extension site. So I was looking at the rutabagas and turnips page, and they were saying when the caller talked about them getting soft, they are actually drying out. And so I was thinking about that too. I thought, well, should we wash them? And I agree, I wouldn't wash them, but yeah, cut off the tops, leave a little bit of that, and then put them in plastic in the fridge. Yeah, I agree.
As I said, we have such smart listeners.
I know. Thanks for calling with
thank
that
you, Bruce.
Tip.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Listener, Julie wants to have you talk a little bit about how to prepare the hibiscus bush for winter.
Oh, so the perennial is just, I wonder if they're talking about, if it's a perennial hibiscus, you can just cut it down. And then I would protect it. I would put a fence around it or some fencing and then fill it with leaves or straw. Just to protect it through the winter and to keep animals from browsing on those stems that are still above the ground. If it's a tropical hibiscus, you like any houseplant, you want to check it over really well before you bring. Hopefully, you've brought it in by now, because if you haven't, it's probably pretty cold for it. But clean it up. The leaves are going to drop off when you bring it in, a lot of them. So don't be alarmed by that. They'll re-sprout. It may be full of buds, flower buds. They tend to bloom this time of year. Just clean them up, clean up the pot. Make sure that you're not bringing in any pests with it. And if you do find any on the plant, either remove that part of the plant or you can go ahead and treat the plant as well. You can cut it back as well, too. So that would be the tropical hibiscus. The other one, I think, just fence it and fill it with leaves just to protect it through the winter.
We're getting some questions, as I figured we would, about dormant seeding. This one in particular said they've been spraying for Creeping Charlie, and their question is, can I still do dormant seeding after spraying the past few weeks for Creeping Charlie?
Yeah, you sure can. And that dormant seeding, that seed is just going to remain dormant. It's not going to sprout, and it's not going to be harmed by the spray.
Again, dormant seeding. Can I overseed now, or do I need to wait until lawn freezes? What is the best way to dormant seed, and what is it?
Well, dormant seeding is putting down grass seed that's appropriate for your site. So sun, part shade, full shade, whatever it is, and putting it down at a time when the soil temperatures are too cold for that seed to germinate. And that seed lies under the snow. If you can do it right before a snowstorm, that's actually a good time. And it lies under the snow dormant, and then in the spring, the changes in the warming up and the moisture that we have in the soil, they work together to help that seed to germinate in the spring. And you could wait. I would still wait a little bit longer, just because the advice that I understand has always been November to mid-November, mm-hmm. Early to mid-November. And if we don't have any snow, you could still put it down after that, too.
All right, very good. This listener wants to know, can we split and transplant lilacs now?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be doing any splitting and transplanting now. It's a little bit late in the season. The plant won't have any time for the roots to really get reestablished. Wait until spring, or wait until after they bloom in the spring. I don't know about splitting lilacs. They don't really split very well. They're not like a daylily that you can divide and replant. I would actually opt for putting in new plants from a local nursery, and First of all, you get some new varieties, and second of all, you'll get some fresh growth. You know, lilacs are old plants, and they live a long time. So I don't think there's no splitting involved with lilacs.
And I'm looking at the overnight lows. They're in the 20s.
Yeah, it's too cold to do that now.
Yeah.
Anyway, even if you could.
Good advice. This listener planted 30 hazelnut plants last summer. 26 survived.
How many?
Shall we protect them in some way during the winter is the question. We have chickenware cages around each one.
So how many plants survived? 26?
26, yeah.
Wow, way to go. That's awesome. So the most important thing with those hazelnuts is protecting them from animal browsing. So you want to cage those plants, and I don't think chicken wire is the way to go. I think you want to use something stronger than that, because if you have any deer browsing, they can knock down a chicken wire fence in no time. So you want to use either a tall hardware cloth, or you can use a stronger tree fencing, something like a livestock fencing, and make it really strong, really sturdy. If you have them grouped together, you could do some small groups of the 26. You know, they might be close enough together, just to make it a little bit more efficient. But don't group the whole bunch of 26, because a deer can go over that fencing. So just put them in small groups. We have a webpage on deer protection, or protecting plants from deer, and it talks about micro enclosures, which are 16 by 16 areas made of livestock fencing that have proven to be good ways to protect plants, larger plants like hazelnuts and apples, from deer. So take a look at that on our extension site under our trees and shrubs section.
I'm going to do that very thing, because the deer just thrive on our landscape here.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They'll eat anything once.
That's true. By the way, here's our phone number. It also happens to be our text number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Julie, I have Weigela bushes, and a willow bush. They are extremely woody inside and very large. I would like to trim them down by at least half. My wood bushes. Okay, this is kind of a typo here.
Deciphering.
If not now, when? I don't want to lose the beautiful pink flowers I get on them in the spring.
So Weigela are more summer blooming plants. So you can take them down to the ground in the winter, and it's called coppicing, and then they will resprout and grow, and you may have a little bit less bloom next year, but the plants will have much better form. You'll get rid of those big woody stems. So that's one option. Same with the willow shrub. That's like a Arctic willow or something. You can do that as well. The other thing you could do with particularly the Weigela is that you could trim out about a third of the plant, the biggest stems of that plant. So you could do that as well. Again, you'd want to wait and do that in the winter, and then new growth will sprout in those areas, and that new growth will be a lot less woody, and then it'll also bloom too. So you can do it either way. Depends on what your objective is.
All right. Very good. Let's grab another phone call, Julie. Sharon is calling in from Spicer this morning. Hi, Sharon. What's your question for Julie?
I'm looking to choose some kind of a shrub to go in front of my porch, which faces east, and I don't want it to get too tall, just something I can look over on the porch. And I'm wondering about fruited cranberry, what you think of that. Or also, I've had a Carol Mackey Daphne in the past, which I loved, but I think it's more delicate.
Okay, so this is a plant selection question, and we happen to have an excellent plant database that you could access. It's on our extension site under our landscaping section. It's called Plant Elements of Design. There's roughly 2,500 plants on that list, including a lot of good, interesting blooming shrubs that you might be interested in. I would also, what you want to do is, you've already identified the direction and the light that you have. You want to also determine how much space you have for these shrubs. And in this database, you can enter in that kind of information about your site and the growing conditions, and then click the search button, and then it will come up with any and all plants in the database that match those requirements. I would start with the most basic things, the light, the type of soil you have, and the size of the space, and the kind of shrub you want. And in this case, it sounds like you want a deciduous shrub that blooms. So look for those things and put those in. If you have any issues, you can contact. There's a help email. Actually comes to me, and I can help you with it. But that's a good source. It's a great place to start, and it helps you learn to choose plants. It helps direct kind of our thought process for choosing plants with growing requirements that match our site conditions so that they really thrive and they don't just survive.
Good point. Julie, I know we have to break here in a moment.
Conditions so that they really thrive and they don't just survive.
Good point. Julie, I know we have to break here in a moment, but I wanted to ask you, for those that don't know, Julie plays in a group called the Abiders.
Yeah.
Now, when's your next gig?
Hey, we have got one of our biggest gigs of the year coming up. It's the Tonka Brew Fest, number 10. We have played for all 10 of the Tonka Brew Fest events. This is out at Galewoods Farm in Minnetrista, Minnesota. And tickets are online at TonkaBrewFest.com. This is a benefit, a fundraiser for our local Rotary, which does a ton of awesome work all over the West Metro area and beyond. They also collaborate with other Rotaries. And it's a big event. 18 microbreweries are there. You get to taste a lot of great beer, meet some nice people, and hear the Abiders play. It is next Saturday, November 4th, from 3 to 6. You have to be 21 to come.
Well, let's remind folks before you take your leave today about that very thing. So
we'll
mention
that.
Mention that again. So hang on. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back with more Smart Garden. 651-461-9226. Temperature reading in the Twin Cities still 29 degrees. Stay with us. Back to our Smart Garden show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, any kind of a home improvement question you may have for Andy Lindis, we'll be fielding those on our home improvement show next hour. Julie Weisenhorn is with us from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. Here's another one, Julie, about houseplant question. What if the leaves on my houseplant are sticky? Is it good to spray with 8 insect control?
Okay, so the houseplant, we don't know what the houseplant is, but the sticky leaves are usually indicative of honeydew, caused by honeydew. This is an excrement from sucking insects like aphids, for example. And if that's the case, there are other reasons, I suppose, it could be sticky, but that's, if we're thinking about pests, that would be the purpose of that. 8 is a product that is used for sucking insects. The important thing about any product is, first of all, identifying the insect. So you got to find it. Could be aphids, could be scale, could be mealybugs, and you want to identify it first. We have some good tools on our extension site for identifying houseplants. In fact, there's a web page that I wrote with our great entomologist, Jeff Hahn, who has since retired from Extension, but it's on managing insects on indoor plants. I would take a look at that, try to find the insect first, then determine how to take care of it. And we have some recommendations on that page. 8 is just one product. There are also less impactful products and safer products to use, like insecticidal soap, neem oil, horticultural oil. You can also wash the plant to get rid of insects, too. That's sometimes a great way to start. And then move that plant out of the way or away from other houseplants so that you're not contaminating other houseplants with those pests. So take a look at that web page, Managing Insects on Indoor Plants. And it's on our extension site at extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden. Go to Houseplants.
Very good. You mentioned entomologist Jeff Hahn. He's helped us out for years here on CC.
Yeah, I miss Jeff. Hey, Jeff, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, congrats on the retirement. A little bit late. should I cut down, Texter says, my asparagus ferns now?
I wonder if they're talking about their asparagus that's in the garden. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
You can leave them up through the winter. They don't hurt anything. You can cut them down in the spring. They actually give you a little bit of interest in an otherwise barren landscape of snow and grayness. So a lot of people will leave them up. They turn kind of a golden color through the winter, and then you just trim them back in the spring. Your choice.
Okay. Listener says, I bought a potted hydrangea tree this summer. It flowered beautifully, and I'm wondering if I plant it in the ground, if it will survive our winter. If I bring it indoors, would it survive this winter?
Yeah, that's kind of a prediction I'm not sure I can make.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of hydrangea it is. If it's a hardy hydrangea from Minnesota, yes, you can plant it outside. It's a little bit late to do that now, but you can try. If you bring it indoors, you could maybe get it to live through the winter indoors and put it back outside. It's going to just depend on how much light you have and how much care you're willing to give it.
Okay. Another question from a listener, text-wise. It says, can a large-size sumac be bought and planted with success?
Well, there are different cultivars of sumac. There's Tiger Eye. There's cut-leaf sumac, too. I don't know. I've never seen a large sumac for sale. Like, what's large? You know, full-grown, over my head. Or if it's a type of sumac from a greenhouse, yes, you can transplant those if you buy it from a greenhouse or a nursery. There are these varieties that are available. If you're going to transplant it from some place where you've dug it up, it might be more challenging because they tend to have pretty complex root systems that spread, and that's why they make such nice massing plants for hillsides. So this would definitely be something I would ask for more information on. But, yeah, you can transplant them from a nursery, but I don't think you could dig one up and transplant it that easily. I'd go with smaller ones, to be honest.
Okay. Listener heard you talking about that apple earlier in the show. What apple was Julie talking about?
The Triumph apple. And Frostbite. That's the other one that I like, too.
And you found that at the Apple House, right?
I did, at the Arboretum, yeah, which is open through December 20th. And it's fabulous. I don't know if we'll have apples that long. They're still bringing them in, though, and there's a lot of great gourds and pumpkins out there. So really a really cool place to go.
And it's and over the year, they've expanded, too.
Yeah, they put a big addition onto that building. Lots more room, lots more products. Really, they've got a freezer full of strudel and pies. Jenny and John Thule have grown over 300 varieties of squash and pumpkins and gourds. The North Star Cider Donuts and Apple Cider are there, the food truck. I stop there, I bet, weekly to get apples and just see what's going on. It's a pretty cool place to go. So it's out on Highway 5 and Rolling Acres Road, just across the highway from the Arboretum. So you can go to the Apple House and, of course, visit the Arboretum. The fall colors, they've blown off a little bit now, but they're still really, really amazing.
Well, we talk about the Arboretum a lot for good reason, but let's remind listeners, Julie, how do we get there? We have to reserve online, right?
Yep. Go online at arb.umn.edu and go ahead and make a reservation. If you're a member, you're already, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. If you're not a member, you maybe want to become a member, but you can still get a ticket, and that will get you in at a certain time, and you can spend the whole day there. So there's no limit to when you have to leave or anything. It just helps with parking and getting people through the gate in a timely fashion. But we've got our scarecrow displays. We have a huge pumpkin and squash tree that's out there. It's outside of the Oswald Visitor Center. And also, when you visit the website, take a look at the tickets for the Northern Lights. Those are already on sale. So this is our big light show that happens starting November 16th. So get your tickets. They fill up fast. So go ahead and do that. And I always go to that several times every year, so it's really fun to do. But right now, it's beautiful fall.
We have, Julie, less than 2 minutes to go in the show, and the listener wants your thoughts on this question. Have our recent rains been enough to replenish the water our large mature trees need?
Well, that's a great question. I have been listening a lot to our meteorologists and our water experts, and we are still in moderate drought in a number of areas. So it's not enough to replenish it completely. We still want to be watering our woody plants, especially as long as we can until the ground freezes, if possible. So, and we should be watering them consistently throughout the entire season, the growing season. So not just, don't just like dump a bunch of water on them, you know, late in the season, but next year plan to do a, you know, an even watering, consistent watering for those important plants in our landscape. But if you can keep watering, great. If you haven't turned your water off, we happen to have turned ours off at home. So we're just crossing our fingers for more moisture at this point.
Yeah, I did the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Julie, we have to run. In 20 seconds or less, tell us where the Abiders and when are playing.
We are playing next Saturday, November 4th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Tonka Brewfest. Tickets are available at tonkabrewfest.com.
1 week from today.
Yeah, benefit for our Western Communities Rotary.
Good cause. Thank you so much, Julie. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your stay where you are now, and we will talk real soon.
Sounds good, Denny. Have a good weekend.
You too. Julie Weisenhorn, Extension Educator from the University of Minnesota. Get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindis will be stepping into our CCO airwaves, as we used to say, next hour. Right now in the Twin Cities, it's overcast. 29 is the current temp, been that way all morning. Heading for a high near 35. Stay with us here on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.